We truly very grateful for the presence of each and every one who has come out here today. Another beautiful day in God's creation, and the opportunity we have to hear another portion of God's word revealed unto us. If you have your Bibles with you, we might, as we use our Bibles here this morning, you might search those scriptures to see whether the things that are spoken are truly from God's word. The title of my lesson is The Use of the Tongue. Many times we think of the tongue as a means of whenever we eat some food or put some food in our mouth, the tongue helps to continue it, or as we swallow and goes down to the stomach. It's a member that works for us. The tongue also is a means of expressions and words that we use and express to one another by the instrument of the tongue being used. But yet, there's one thing that the Bible teaches concerning that of the tongue, and it's much greater than some of these things that we have spoken. It takes only a little match to destroy the most beautiful home. It takes just one carelessly tossed cigarette to wipe out a forest. It takes just one smoldering campfire, thoughtlessly left, to ignite a raging inferno. What a terrible, tragic scene that blackens the hills where a forest once stood. How tragic to visualize a blackened city after the fire has swept uncontrollably and gutted many homes, taking our prized possessions. Yet the Bible speaks of an even greater destruction that has become very commonplace and often an accepted way of life, and that is that of the tongue. If you have your Bibles, you might turn to James chapter 3. We'll be looking at a few of those verses here this morning concerning that of the tongue and how much great destruction the tongue causes than the things that I just mentioned of the little match or a smoldering campfire or a tossed cigarette. This divination is ignited by the tongue, and is fanned by gossip, and it continues to be swept, that it sweeps the whole community before it's brought under control. It destroys not the present time, but for eternity. Visualize the torture and the pain that is caused by this tongue as we look to James, the third chapter, and beginning there in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members as it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. The ruination that is wrought by the unruly tongue. James has portrayed the power of the tongue to be both good and evil, but he warns especially against that of the evil. Just a tiny spark and a resulting holocaust ravages a city. Just a flickering ember and majestic trees of a great forest are leveled and blackened. Just a carelessly tossed cigarette and a prairie fire sweeps hundreds and thousands of acres. And also, we note as well the torture and the pain that is endured because of such fires. How terrible it is to contemplate a person who might have got caught in that fire, who has been disfigured and scarred by that fire. But how much more serious the damage that is wrought by the wicked, uncontrolled tongue. Just a careless word that is spoken, and a soul may be destroyed for eternity. Just a little gossip and vile rumors sweep the community as a fire guts a city. Words of a harsh tongue inflict greater torture than a raging fire. And this devastation draws eternity. How horrible to consider the disfiguring scars, the hurt, the pain that results from a callous tongue sowing discord. Eternity alone will disclose this vast number of souls that are lost due to the thoughtless words from a loose tongue, causing precious souls to faint and lose hope of the joys of heaven. Just one small word, and it can ravage like a great fire. It can destroy the community, and it can destroy our eternal destiny. How shall we deal with this gossip? An arsonist is put in prison to protect and safeguard our temporal possessions. And we don't allow our children to play with matches, for this would threaten our property. We employ forest rangers to patrol constantly to prevent fires that could destroy vast timberlands. But yet we allow spiteful gossip and slander to roam free. Such busybodies do far more harm and inflict more hurt and pain than arsonists in our city or raging fires in timber. These fires can burn the body, but cannot touch the soul. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 10th chapter. And there in verse 28 of this chapter, the tongue scorches and scars the soul for eternity. But Jesus said in Matthew, the 10th chapter there in verse 28, to fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul. In Matthew chapter 10 and there in verse 28, he says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We need to fear him. Be cautious in the words that we say, because it may also destroy our soul. The malicious tongue destroys far more than any temporal or material things that we may possess. Going back to James, the third chapter, and we notice there in verse 6 of this chapter, in James chapter 3 and verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. A tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. In verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Listening to gossip and slander and passing it on aids and abets the devil's work of spiritual destruction. When we engage in gossip and it spreads like a wildfire, it destroys our spiritual being. After God had given such warnings about the wrong use of the tongue, and then we refuse to properly use the tongue that God gave us. Turn with me to Colossians, the fourth chapter. In Colossians chapter 4, and there in verse 6 of this chapter, our speech is one that should be seasoned with salt. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Concerning the food that sometimes we partake of, the tongue helps us to flavor what that food might taste like. If it's not quite seasoned enough, we add a little seasoning or salt or to make it taste, or sugar, to make it taste just a little bit better. That's the way our speech should be, seasoned with salt. The best advice for tongue control is found in Titus chapter 2, and there in verse 1. As we turn to Titus chapter 2, and there in verse 1, he says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience, and the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women also to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. We are to speak those things that are proper for sound doctrine. We cannot be ashamed of this advice. And yet, what it causes, the power of the tongue. The tongue is a little member in our body, and it boasts great things. Therefore, it must be constantly guarded. The tongue is set between two walls, one of bone and one of flesh. Wisdom dictates that at times the teeth must be clenched and the lips sealed. In other words, there are times when you must keep your big mouth shut. We put bits in horses' mouths and they obey. They obey us by the commands that we give them. We control their brute force by just a little bit that's in their mouth. We put a small rudder on a big ship, and with it we direct its course. But yet the little tongue is not controlled, and often it controls our lives and our destiny. We must watch our tongue constantly, for it's in a very slippery place. We need to be very careful of the things that we say. Sometimes there are people that talk about us, and we need to be very careful how we react to that, that we do not let those idle words slip, or those profane words that we might be thinking of slip our tongue, because it can destroy us. It can destroy our well-being. Wild beasts are tamed and they do our bidding. If you ever noticed in a circus, those beasts perform, or those elephants, tigers perform, because they've been tamed. But no man can tame the tongue. We see deadly snakes in glass pits at a zoo or at some assembly. And our innocent children are protected from them because they are in confinements that the deadly snakes cannot reach them. But our tongue is even more deadly, and it must be also controlled. The tongue can do good or evil. James pointed out that we can either do good or evil with our tongue. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, and there in verse 34, the scripture points out here that the good and evil is determined in the heart. In Matthew chapter 12, and there in verse 34, says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men speak, that they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Good and evil is determined in the heart and is brought forth by our speech. In Titus chapter 3, and there in verse 2, Paul told Titus here, Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We are to speak evil of no man. But the tongue can also do much good. Paul asked for prayers that he might properly use his tongue. Turning back to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and beginning there in verse 18. We notice here the Apostle Paul had said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul asked for prayers that he might properly use his tongue here in these verses. When Peter and John were released from prison, the burden of prayers from the saints was that they would boldly speak God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and there in verse 11, the right use of the tongue is best described for us here when it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. There's no greater power of the tongue than in this verse, that we should speak the oracles of God to make proper use of our tongue. This is the right pattern for the right use of our tongue. With it, that same tongue, we can bless God, or we could curse men. And sometimes we try to do both. We as Christians should speak as the oracles of God to do good to our fellow man. What is God's lesson for the control of our tongue? God has not left us without guidelines for acceptable use of the tongue. In James chapter 1, and there in verse 19, God tells us that we should be swift to hear and slow to speak. James chapter 1, and there in verse 19, he says, so then, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Peter also emphasized that we should refrain from evil. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and there in verse 10, Peter said, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." We should refrain from evil. Strive to do righteous, be righteous in the sight of God. James also points out there in James chapter 1 and verse 26 that we must bridle our tongue. James says, "If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religious is useless." Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In judging trees by their fruit, what evaluation do you place on loose tongue troublemakers that sow discord in so many churches? Is theirs a vain religion from a loose tongue? We need to beware of our tongues. The Bible teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 2, and there in verse 10, about a class of sinners whose tongues assured their eternal damnation. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning there in verse 10, he says, "And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." Also, as we turn to Jude, in Jude, there in verse 8, it speaks of people who speak evil of dignities. In Jude 8, it says, "Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries." And verse 10, "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and have greedily in the ear of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah." It's very sad in our society that we see perverted minds that are paid great amounts of money to promote filth and mental pollution. Would you contend to this degradation? even though it may be less than a forest fire and destruction. The tongue can do either good or evil, but it must be kept under control if good is to be sought. We must constantly guard against the wrong use of the tongue. It can cause us eternal punishment. It can cause us eternal separation from the God of heaven if we allow it to speak evil, if we allow our tongue to do evil things. Our soul will be lost from eternity. We hope this lesson that we've considered here this morning might sink into those hearts of the proper use of our tongue as we speak to one another, that we do not spread gossip because it is something that is hard to control, very difficult. As we said in this lesson, we must clench our teeth and keep our big mouth shut. We hope this lesson has been an encouragement to each and every one. And by this lesson, well, this lesson may not be to those who need to become a child of God, but this lesson could be aimed towards those who may have brought reproach upon the church. Need to consider the life that you are leading. Is it a life that will be acceptable unto the God of heaven? If we can encourage you in any way, whether in primary obedience to the Word of God or to be restored in the most holy faith, we can assist you in any way. We encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.